We're already at the high one.
Help me lift.
Oh, we're going. Okay. Help me.
So once you start singing, you want them to switch? When you get into the next song?
Do they have to switch it now? Well, because you said it's going to be hard. So when should they switch? Right now?
Well, if anyone switches, it should be Diane should go up. Because Diane will be the alto with the alto.
Okay. So only during the worship?
Yes. Okay. From the beginning of the worship or when it gets to this
turn? At the beginning. I mean, really, it should be at the beginning of. Okay. We should just do
okay.
it.
Okay. We'll do it.
At the beginning. But that changes the whole, so is it, huh? I understand, but what makes it easier for Pro Media would be just for him to come down during this song, and we'll be mic'd.
Okay, so you just come down before worship.
Or let's try something. Elder Otis, Devontae's microphone is on what?
He's on number three.
Go ahead and sing it right now.
Test 1, 2. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling. Cool.
So, depending. We'll do that.
Okay, go back to
the wherever you lead, we follow.
Me?
Yes.
I hear the chains falling.
Right,
yep. Chains falling.
Yeah, they always have those little, like, you know, when you go to Florida and the men are wearing all the flowery shirts. Maybe text someone that's not here yet. Like, ask Janae if she has one. Or
chains falling.
Yeah, before they come. They have 25 minutes. She'll have time. Bless you. Your phone matches your outfit.
She don't ever have a phone.
Oh, am I straight to voicemail? Corey.
I'm also about to call.
Was that what you're singing, or did I? Okay, I was like, I don't even know if that's what you're singing. Who else would have a Hawaiian shirt?
Hey, Corey. Are you and Ozzy on your way to church? Are you guys riding together?
Who sings it?
Could you?
Is it Maverick City?
I just tried to call her. Could I
speak
with
her? So good, so good, yeah.
Well, how does it go?
Say yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes.
Ajane, could you do me a favor? Would you be able to go to Walmart for me and see if they have like something floral, like a floral top or Hawaiian top for if you have to get like a men's Hawaiian type shirt, just get a medium for both of us. Okay, and I'll give you the money when you get here, or I can cash out you or something now.
Thank you.
That shirt does look like
okay, thank you. All right, bye.
Huh? When I saw that, when I said it.
To do what? All right, do you think
we gotta go back to where it was because he
He has to change.
Ooh.
Okay. So we have to go back to where we were and then do what you're about to do with him.
Okay, so we'll go from you have no rival and then. Okay, so. You have no.
Hey, y'all can be seated. We already prayed. Amen. We pray. I pray for the word. Pray for us to receive. Amen. The love boat. Amen. No stowaways. You gotta pay your fare. Come on, bring that out here for me real quick. Amen. So we can get into the word. You know, as I was saying, I thank God for the wife of my youth. Amen. I just want to present her with these roses. You know, marriage takes work. You know, even as I was thinking this morning, every day hasn't been Sunday. Amen. But then I thought about when you look at the calendar of the year, there's only 52 Sundays out of 365, or this year 65, say leap year. Amen. 365 days, here you go, my dear. Love you. Let me help you put that down. That's kind of heavy.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. But you know, like I was saying, there's only 52 Sundays in a year. So how do we expect every day to be Sunday in our lives? Amen. The rest of those days are what? Work days. Right? And sometimes Sunday's a work day, you know? Don't think about it. Amen. But I thank God for doing the work. Amen. That we can dig in. So we thank God. We thank the Love Boat crew. Amen. For their crazy presentation. Amen. Take me back. Amen. It takes crazy folk to do crazy things. Amen. But we thank God for our living faith. Each and every one of you. Because, you know, we ain't the only ones that have been on this boat for a long time. Man, there's many in here that's been with us, as you were just saying, 26 years, 30 years plus, the Herons, and where'd he go? Where'd Brother Robert go? Go there, you're back there. Amen. Been with us from the beginning. Amen. So we got some old, what they call them when they went to ship from the beginning. Let me see if any of y'all know, any of y'all old salts in here.
Plank owners,
plank members, amen. They've been there from the beginning. Amen. And many of you that have been here, we appreciate every single one that's come along on board ever since, because each one has been a blessing in our lives. Amen. So we thank God for the body. But this morning, amen, we want to just dig in a little bit, because I know after all the festivities, I only got a few minutes to bring you the word. Amen. You know, I got till 4 o'clock. Right? I think I can manage to get enough out by then. You know, but now, you know, I think about the fact that we've pretty much wrapped up the book of Acts. But we're not done with it, but, you know, we wrapped up that series somewhat, you know, at the same time. You know, we'll continue to build upon that foundation.
Amen.
Amen. Because that was, you know, that is not what it is, the foundation of the New Testament church, the church of today. Amen. In the book of Acts, amen. Acts literally laid the foundation for the church. Amen. So when we look at it, you never really get away from it. Amen. So, oh yeah, I got to release the children. Amen. To their class. Thank you for that reminder. They're sitting there chomping at the bit, ready to go. What's he waiting for? Amen. We thank God for our young people. Amen. But you know, when you build a foundation, you don't stop there. You got to build on it. Foundation, you know, when you look at houses these days or buildings, how many of us go out and say, boy, that's a beautiful foundation? You know, you don't even notice the foundation because you're looking at what's built on it.
Right.
And, see, and I say that to say the church has to have a good foundation, but everybody ain't looking at your foundation. They're looking at how you build it, what you built on it, your life, what your life look like. Amen. So we want to make sure that we have a good foundation, but now it's time to do some building. Amen. So that as they see us, you know, one thing the scripture teaches is that Jesus Christ is what? He's the chief cornerstone. Good man. He's that one. Amen. Someone say, well, what is a cornerstone? What is that all about? Amen. You know, because he is the cornerstone. Cornerstones have a purpose. Amen. And, as you know, a cornerstone is the standard of every other part of the building. Amen. Everything must align with that stone. Amen. And that stone sets the order of the building. It sets the rule. Everything else has come into alignment with that. And when we don't line up with it, you're going to have some crazy, you know, I think about the Leaning Tower of something went wrong there, right? You know, they didn't check the foundation early enough to make sure it was solid to hold the foundation. But we have a good foundation. And that's in Jesus Christ, you know. And I think about, you know, that foundation is much like the plumb line for a carpenter, you know, builder. And, you know, everything is tried and is true. Amen. It's tested. Amen. And everything's got to be right. It's kind of like that plumb line or the compass and the sextant for, you know, a surveyor or a ship's captain. Amen. Without those things, we get lost. And we're trying to figure out life on our own, amen, without the right foundation. Everybody has their own truth, right? You know, I think I like what Jesus said. He is the way, the truth, and the light. If your truth don't line up with his truth, your truth is false. My truth is false if it doesn't line up with his truth. Amen. So we look at that foundation, that cornerstone. But I want to talk to us this morning from the question, what do you know? Think about that. What do you know? We know a lot of things, right? We believe a lot of things. Amen. But what do we really know? And that's what we got to stop at. You know, as I look at, you know, believing versus knowing. Amen. And there's a big difference in believing and knowing. You know, there's a huge difference between the two. How many of you know that fire is hot? Right? How many of you just believe it's hot? So how do you go from believing to knowing? Experience, right? Right? Experience, amen. Because you can tell the child, don't touch that, it's hot, don't touch that, it's hot. They don't know yet. And they don't know if they believe you. Right? So they're going to find out for themselves, and instantly they go from believing or even not believing to knowing. You know, I take myself for example. You know, it's a transition to get to knowing. Yeah. You know, and when I take myself again. When I was talking to a friend years ago, I hadn't given my life to Christ. I was being a stumbling block. You know, he was trying to witness to me and tell me about God and the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I didn't believe none of that. Even though I was in church until I was about 12, you know, and then after that, just things went through. But anyway, so I would sit and I would try to persuade him that it don't take all that. Ain't no spirit, ain't no one speaking in tongues. What you talking about, you know? See, I didn't believe it, but through the process of time, things begin to happen. And I gave my life to the Lord. I'm just truncating this story a whole lot. I gave my life to the Lord, and I ended up in the same church with him. Go figure. You know, and he was living for the Lord. Amen. He was so excited that I gave my life to the Lord. But I still didn't quite grasp this Holy Spirit thing. Amen. 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 But eventually I began to believe it from what I was seeing and hearing and reading in Scripture. I began to believe it, but I just didn't know. But then one night. How did Andre Crouch say, I never thought it could be till it happened to me. And boom, the Holy Spirit came. Amen. Filled me. And there I was, speaking in tongues. Amen. And I know it wasn't me, because I'm wondering, what is this coming out of my mouth? You know, what's going on? You know, so I went that evening from just believing to knowing. And once you know that you know, anybody here know that you know that you know? I don't care what it is. There's something in your life, something you know that can't nobody shake you from. No one can change your conviction because you know through experience that it is true and real. See, so we got to have that mind to have that, because believing involves holding a conviction, amen, or accepting something that is true, amen, even in the absence of concrete evidence. That's believing. Yet believing still leaves room for doubt. Right? I see y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody in here ever doubted your faith? Come on. After you got saved, where you at, God? You know, why me, God? You know, so you believe, but there's things that can cause you to doubt. But when you come to knowing, and see, that's what the Holy Spirit did for me. You know, it took me from just believing that God is real.
Thank you, God.
To knowing that he is real. Amen. And that's not the only thing, amen, but knowing, it refers to having factual information or evidence about something that is true and verifiable. Amen. Knowing, amen. See, when there's no doubt, you don't say, I believe. You say, I know. See, because you're not just a believer anymore. It's good to be a believer because you got to be there. You got to start somewhere. Amen. Believing. Amen. But I want to challenge you. You just don't want to be comfortable just believing. Amen. See, you know, we look at the scripture and it lets us know so many times, amen, he that believeth and is baptized. Amen. You start with believing, amen, you know. But I believe God wants to take us from just believing to knowing. So you have that conviction. I think about, you know, the 12 apostles, amen, when they seen Christ ascend up. Amen. It was the 11. It was 12 because they had added Matthias. Amen. Because Judas hanged himself because he couldn't find a place of repentance. Amen. But that's another story. But they watched him ascend up. And they thought about all the miracles that he did. And they had seen him die on the cross. And now they have spent 40 days spending time with him after his resurrection. Now, do you think they just believed he was real? At that point? Or they were knowers. They weren't just believers anymore. They were knowers. And because of that, amen, when you look at the history of their lives, each and every one of them, amen, they died a martyr's death because no matter what anybody said, threatened them or anything else, they didn't shake their conviction because they knew that Christ was real. Amen. No matter what they challenged them with, I think about the three Hebrew boys, even what they said, amen, when they were getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They weren't just believers, they were knowers. How do I know that? Because what they told the king. What did he tell the king? He said, even if he don't deliver us. They didn't say we believe he's able. They said we know he's able. And because of what they said, amen, they threw him in the fiery furnace and made it hotter than it was supposed to be. And next thing you know, the king is looking in the furnace and he don't see three, but he see four. Now, can you imagine this? You walking around in the fire. How's your day? You know, I can imagine the conversation going on. Amen. And when they came out, their clothes wasn't burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. Because he showed them what you said was true. They knew he was real. And not only did they know at that point, but even the king went from believing that God was real to knowing he was real and made a decree that all nations, everyone in the nation, is going to serve their God. Because he proved that he's not just to be believed, he's to be known. Amen. And we want you to know God. We want you to know like nothing else, amen, that this thing is real. There's enough in our world and society today that's challenging the Christian faith. Amen. And we see too many people, amen, from the pulpit on that's turning around and walking away. Amen. But see, that tells me one thing, that those were just believers. Let me say that again. And I'm not trying to throw no one under the bus, but that tells me that they were just believers. Because like when I look at the apostles, how they died, no one's going to hang on the cross to defend a lie. They went to their crosses, amen, and their deaths, amen, because they were knowing that it was true and nothing could shake them. And I think that's the kind of faith, amen, that I want to have, you should have, amen, desire to have, that no matter what this world offers me, no matter what this world throws against me, I know God is real, and I'm not going to allow anything to take me out of that place or position, amen, because I also know, because I know he's real, I know this is temporary. And I know I'm not going to be here forever, but I do know a place that forever is my destiny, and that's in the new kingdom with him. Amen. So we got to look at these things and say, okay, how many of y'all just want to be believers? I don't see no hands going up. How many believers we got in here? Oh, no, I'm starting to see some. How many knowers do we have in here? Come on now. See, that's what we want to be, amen. And it's my prayer, amen. As we go along, we become knowers, amen, so that we cannot be moved or shaken by anything, amen, that comes against us. Amen. Because why? God is real. Amen. And I just know, amen, that he wants us to have that kind of assurity, that assurance that he is real. And he, not only is he real, he will do what he said he will do. Amen. He will keep us. But let's look at Hebrews. Amen. I just want to share some passages with you here real this morning. Amen. Because we just got to trust God. In Hebrews 11. And 6. Remember, what do you know? See, we got to ask, do I really know he's real? Amen, when it comes to him. But how can we know? God wants us to be in a place of knowing. Amen. So let's look in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, starting at verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now see, we gotta come. When we come, we gotta believe. Right. But so why is that not enough? He said he's a rewarder of them that diligently. In other words, he's gonna show himself. In other words, he's gonna be a blessing in our lives. He's gonna do things that helps us to move from a place of belief to knowing. Amen. And he's gonna help us to do that in so many different ways. Amen. Faith got you here, amen, but then what? We got to walk in it. We got to live it out. We got to stand on it. You know, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to start digging a little bit right here. Starting at verse number 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle Jesus Christ, and servant of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now look, he's talking to those that believe, right? Precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to, now listen to this verse very carefully. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. See, so through the knowledge of God, amen, the understanding of who he is, amen, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Tell somebody next to you, you got everything you need. Some of y'all don't believe that. But that, isn't that what he just said? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means when we know him, amen, we have everything we need to navigate this life. Everything we need to navigate this world, amen, because he's given it to us through the knowledge, the knowing of God. The knowing of Christ. We want to know him like he is known. Amen. Some of us don't even know ourselves. All right, we're still trying to figure that out. But that's okay. If you get to know God, he'll help you to know yourself. So you say, well, I got to figure me out first. No, you can't figure you out without his help. I'm a testimony. I was confused until I got to know Jesus. And he got to begin to show me where I was confused, where I was crazy. And not only did he show me, he began to help me to change. But see, I you know, many times we think we good, we going along, we okay. You don't know how crazy you is. I can use bad English, but you know what I mean. But until he begins to reveal to you and me who we are, amen, we think we got it together. We think we okay. We think we understand the universe. But we don't. Without the architect of it. That's like you saying you know your cell phone and you never read the owner's manual. You know all your new car can do, but you've never read the owner's manual. You know everything about that newfangled TV you have, but you've never read the owner's manual. Your knowledge is limited. You know, so he gave us his word, amen, and his spirit to help us to know him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So he wants us to know him at that level so you don't get there just by watching televangelists. You don't get there just by going to church on Sunday. I'm just trying to help us this morning. You get there by studying to show yourself approved unto not me, not to them, but to God. Amen. Because he is the one, a worker that don't need to be ashamed because you've studied to know him. Now, sometimes, you know, I like to pick on the brothers sometimes. No, we'll study football. And it's just not the brothers. I remember mom, she knew more about football than I ever knew. Man, she can tell you the teams who swapped from this team to that team. Amen. Last year, who won the Super Bowl. And right now, I don't even remember who was in the Super Bowl. But, you know, oh, it's Kansas City. Who else? Who? Oh, okay, San Francisco. You know, but see, we know these things. We know the stats of different players. Hey, man, we know where they went to college, what their averages are. We know baseball. We know soccer. Hey, man, we know all these things. You talk to the women, hey, man, some of them are good on sports. Some of them can tell you all about what kind of recipes or computer stuff. I mean, just go on and on and on and on about all the stuff we know. But when we start talking about Jesus, our brain just goes, psst. We got to know him and study him like we study everything else. Amen. Because he's the only knowledge that's going to get us out of here in one piece. All the other stuff we know. So when I ask the question, what do you know? We're talking about Jesus. Not just believe, but what do you know? I mean, you can be all the things that you desire to be in this world, but if you don't know him, see, because even in knowing him, he'll let us know if we're going down the wrong path.
That's right.
Oh, I can tell you some testimonies how he changed my life. Amen. Our direction was gonna go this way, and he said no. Why did I ask him? Because I already knew he was gonna mess me up, you know. But I'm here, so I have to ask, you know. But we gotta get to a place, amen, to know him, know his voice, know his ways, amen, and not just seek his hand. Seek his face to know him. Amen. So when we look at this, amen, what he's saying, he's giving us everything. Does it say all things? It says all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You've been called to a high place. Amen. See, man, sometimes you feel like being a Christian is hard. No, it's the changing that can be hard. Being a Christian ain't that hard. It's the changing that's hard because sometimes we don't want to change. Sometimes we want to be who we is, or who we are, or who we want to be. Amen. But see, we got to get to that place. Then we look at, you know, as he goes on, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How many of y'all like promises? We say, you know, as long as it's kept. I heard that. Amen. We like promises. Amen. Because promises, somebody said promises are made to be. But you got to think about the promiser. Amen. And if God made us a promise, he's a promise keeper. Amen. And it said, he said, exceeding great. I mean, better than great. You know, even greater than the promise you can imagine you can do for yourself. Right? He said, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. In other words, I don't have to follow after what everybody else is following after. I don't have to lust after the same things everybody else is lusting after, because I have promises made to me as a child of God, amen, and to you as the children of God that the world can't have. You know, so I'm like, wow, I know that's good. And I know I want, if God promised it to me, I want it. Amen. And you know, he's got so many things. I think about has he spoken in John, the book of John, the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, because in my Father, he's making a place for you and for me. And just in that verbiage alone, you know, in his house or in his kingdom, amen, there are many mansions. He said he was preparing a place, and then he's talking about mansions. Do I need to, you want your mansion? Hey, I mean, it's a promise. And he said what? He said he's going to come back so that we can be with him. That's promises. And there's so many promises in the word. He started off, what promise did he start off with? Y'all should know this one. This is an easy one. It was the first promise he promised us. I got to start the series over. He promised you the Holy Spirit. He said, for this promise, talking about the Holy Spirit, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did God call you to salvation?
Amen.
That means that promise is for you.
Amen.
And with the Holy Spirit on board, now we can begin to really get to know him.
Yes.
He didn't leave us, amen, to our own wonderment or devices, amen. He gave us something, amen, we could grab hold to, all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the knowledge and the power, amen, on board to weather all of life's storms. Someone say, I don't know if I can get through that. How many ever said something like that, but you got through it? God made a way. When you didn't think you could do it, you couldn't do it, but he could help you do it. You didn't do it on your own, amen, but by his help, amen. We can overcome all these things, amen, and not by our strength, but by his, amen. And even sometimes the blessings can be a stumbling block, right? But now we feel like, we was talking about that. I forget who I was talking about that the other day. Sometimes it was at our pastor's meeting. And we were talking about, you know, sometimes we get to a place that everything is so good in our life, we don't need God.
Lord Jesus, help us, God.
At least we don't think we need God.
Help us, God.
Amen. We got blessings on every hand. And we know, hold on to your seatbelt. You know you blessed because of what you got.
Lord, come on, Pastor David, preach.
Let me drop something on you. What you got ain't got nothing to do with you being blessed.
Right.
Because the man out there who don't know nothing about God, don't want to know nothing about God, he can have what you got and more.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So the blessings, amen, those things that are going to be burnt up with the using, destroyed, have to be replaced. But the one thing that we don't have to worry about losing is our relationship with God.
That's it. Amen.
Amen. See, if we know that, they can take everything else. I can lose everything else as long as I don't lose my relationship with God. Right? That's the most important. Look at 2 Peter. We're going to work this passage here a little bit. My time is running quick. Y'all want to give me some grace. Amen. But in 2 Peter 1 and 5, amen, it says, and besides this, besides all the knowledge he's given us, amen, and all those things here, besides this, give all diligence. What's diligence mean? Determination. You know, you're diligently doing it, faithfully doing it. You're determined to do it no matter what. I'm going to get it done. So he says, give all diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. No, that's building. In other words, don't just stay in one place. Increase, right? Build on this thing. Why? Because we got the knowledge. We started with faith and we went to knowledge. Amen. Then we begin to build. But he says what? For if these things, he's talking about these virtues or these attributes we just talked about. He said, these things be in you and abound. That means they're not laying dormant. Right? I got faith. I got love. What you doing with it? But he said, if it abounds, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you let these things work in you,
yeah,
not just have them on board,
amen,
but if you let them abound, if you let them work in you, you won't be barren or unfruitful,
God,
amen, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Thank
this is what he's letting them know. But, what does but do? That cancels out everything else, right? Right? He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What? See, if you don't work it, you're going to forget who you are. Like the man who looked in the mirror and went away and forgot what manner of man he was. And next thing you know, you just like you was before you got saved. It's all about you and not about God. Amen. But look at verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure. Now, sometimes we look at that and say, well, that's a calling to ministry and electing. No, he's talking about your call and election to salvation. That pertains to all of us. You've been called to this thing. You've been elected. You know, we see the political process. God elects everybody. Amen, if you just say yes, right? He said, let it be sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What's that? What? No, wait a minute. Everybody falls. Everybody sins. Right? Everybody sins. So what's he mean? They need to change that. He said, you should say you might not fall. Right? Never is a strong word.
Hallelujah.
But that's what the Bible says. If you do these things, you will never fall. You know, and I agree with it.
Amen.
I'm not perfect, but I agree with it. Why? Because if we follow what the Word of God says, we don't have to fall. Now, just for example, and I ask this question from time to time. What sin
come on, Pastor David,
do you have to do?
Come on, Pastor David.
Y'all thinking, y'all trying to find one. Or maybe you got one in your mind already. Right. You got the one that you think I have to. No, you don't. You know, you choose to do, you want to do. Huh? See, you could be like that child sitting at the table, don't want to eat them green beans. And that parent said, you ain't leaving this table until you eat them green beans. We'll sleep here. The child says, because you, what the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Right? So we, no matter how we slice it,
come on, Pastor David,
we have a choice. Child of God, why can I say that? Because you have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have it on board. But what you do with it is up to you. If you choose to activate that power, activate Holy Spirit. I know y'all waiting on that, right? But if you choose to activate the power, you can walk away from that naked woman.
That's right.
Joseph ran, and he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He just loved God. But you got the Spirit on board. Amen. If you activate this, you can walk away from that blunt. Amen. You can turn that. Oh, see, you meddling now, Pastor Dave. Now, I'm just letting you know, if you choose to activate what you have on board because you've received all things that pertain to life and godliness. You got it on board. You don't have to say it. You know, you have, sometimes we just like, got to tell them. That's your flesh.
Amen.
That ain't the Spirit telling you to tell them. That's your flesh telling you to tell them all. Why? Because that's not godly. But he's giving you everything you need. That pertains to life. Isn't that right? Are y'all following me?
Yes.
Amen. So as we look at this build up, I just want to go through those real quick. Amen. He said, you know, because this is what is going to help us to build on the foundation, amen, and have a transformed life that everybody can see.
That's right.
They don't know your foundation until you get a chance to talk to them, but they're looking.
Yes.
Amen. See, they drive by my house, amen, all they see is the house. They don't know the foundation is cracked or whatever, but they see the foundation. They don't see the foundation, and when they look at you, if your foundation is cracked, you're going to be leaning. Leaning in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing, you're going
to
be leaning, and next thing you know, you're going to fall. But he said, if you do these things, you'll never fall. So I'm trying to equip us, right? So the first one, it says, to your faith add virtue. What is virtue? Let me help you. It's the quality of moral excellence. He starts with our morality. Amen. Where you at? What kind of person are you? Understanding goodness, excellence of character, and worthiness. Virtue. You got any virtuous people? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Let me see. And then the next one, he said, now on that virtue, add knowledge. Uh-huh. Knowledge comes from assurance. Amen. To know or to understand or to draw from your experience. So you're virtuous, amen, and now the virtue, amen, is strengthened by the knowledge of the things that I've gone through. It's strengthened by the knowledge of the Word of God, amen, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It's strengthened to know that this is not my home. See, all these things begin to add together, knowing that if I do this, I might lose my spot.
Lord Jesus, come on.
Now, what do you just got to do to lose your spot in the kingdom? Eternal. Momentary look good right now because I don't know when eternal's going to get here. But some of us grab the momentary because it feels good, it smells good, it tastes good in the moment. But you're gambling the eternal. So once we got the knowledge, he said, into the knowledge add temperance, self-control. To exercise complete control. Whoa, what it says that? Complete control over one's desires and actions. For example, to hold oneself in. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to say it. Tell your flesh to shut up.
Amen.
Right? Oh, I've done that so many times. Amen. Shut up. We ain't going there. We're not doing that. In fact, you want to act up, we're going to fast for 24 hours. I'll get you in order. You know, why? Because I know this flesh. If I let the flesh lead, I won't be no better than the man that don't know God.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Okay. So we got to get to that place. He said, amen, it's to command oneself, amen, to be the chief. Amen. Talking about the spirit man, speaking to the natural man, that we ain't going to do what you want to do. And along the way, we're going to get our soul in order. All those soulish ways and desires and all that. Amen. It's to make our heart be obedient to what we know is right.
Thank you, God.
That's what he's talking about. Amen. Yeah. Getting them desires, being the master of your soul. Amen. And not letting your soulishness master you. That's what he's talking about. Amen. And getting that temper and self-control. Then with self-control, he says, add patience. We got any patient people in here? How about impatient people?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I knew I'd get more hands on that one.
Hallelujah.
Impatient. Amen. It's mine and I want it. Amen. You fussing at in the fast food drive thru. Microwave taking too long. All right? Impatient. Right? Help us, Lord. But patience, this is to endure or to become enduring and to be able to endure something, have the capacity to bear under the load, under the responsibility, under difficult situations, amen. Endurance, amen, is to have great perseverance. We don't like to persevere stuff that's hard. But if we got that kind of patience, amen, it's going to build us up. Amen. Another word for that would be becoming steadfast. Huh? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So with that one, let's look at James 1:2-4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. So in other words, to get patience, you're going to go through something. Anybody ever tell you, don't pray for patience? Huh? But you need patience. Sometimes you ain't got to pray for it. It just, you know, the tribulation just shows up. Right? Right, because it's going to try our faith. But don't be in despair, because this situation you're going through is building your patience, which is making you a better person. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, why am I going through? What am I supposed to learn? Patience. Wait on him. Amen. And then this next verse, I always love to share this verse, amen. In Luke 21:19, amen, it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. People lose patience and lose their souls. Couldn't wait. Had to kill him today. Couldn't wait. Amen. Had to just step out and do my own thing. Oh, see. In your patience, waiting on God. Amen. See, I don't believe, amen, we should trust man more than we trust God.
Come on, Pastor David.
Right? Man, woman, human. More than we trust God. But sometimes, because we don't trust the person, we bail on God. Huh? Oh, my goodness. I want to help us this morning.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Patience is a good thing to have. I learned patience with 7 children.
Ooh, patience.
Very patient. Very patient. Amen.
Amen.
But sometime they can get on that last reserve nerve. You know, the one you had put aside for knowing to mess with, they can find that one. And that's where patience really got to kick in, because all that patience has been building up.
Hallelujah.
And they get to the place that you had in reserve just so you don't lose your mind. They find that. That's when you got to call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. You got to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Yeah.
Amen. Why? Because I'm about to lose it. You know, then we look at this other verse, amen. Let me hurry up. I got to call, amen. 2 Peter 3:10-11, it said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall burn up. All the stuff you hold into will burn up. But look what it says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of conversation, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So how do we get there from patience? Because the next one says, add to your patience godliness. You know, and I look at all these virtues and all these attributes. And as I look back, I see how they've helped us to make it to 50 years of marriage.
Come on now.
Because we had to work every single one of them.
Help us.
To get to that point, amen. And I know those that have been married in here, you know, 20, 25, 53 years, amen. Woo. You've been working these things whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Amen. See, because that's what it takes, amen, to be able to do it, amen. Because godliness means to have piety, amen, which is the character of a Godward attitude.
Yeah.
I want to be like God.
Hallelujah.
I want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything that brings a stain to my Lord. Right? You got to get to that place, amen. Whatever I'll do, I want it to be pleasing, not just pleasing, but well pleasing to Him. That's godliness. Amen. Because no matter what you're doing, amen, you got God on your mind. Now think about this for a minute. When you don't add godliness to your patience, when you lose patience and you don't got godliness, that's when you want to cuss them out. Right? Because you done came to the end of your patience. That's where you need some godliness now.
That's right.
Huh? I know my patience is wearing thin, but God, I don't want to make you upset. I don't want to be a stumbling block. Lord, I don't, you know.
Thank you, God.
So you begin to draw closer. The mind, understanding, knowing these things, the knowledge is what's setting us apart. Amen. 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11. Amen. We just read that one, but let's look at 1 Peter. That's what I want. I'm almost done. Amen. But 1 Peter 14 and 16, it says, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you in holiness. Now, in other words, you're talking about being like Jesus, right? So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Hallelujah.
Wow. All manner of conversation. That mean the conversation on my job? Yes.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
That mean the conversation just between me and my spouse?
Thank
yes.
You, Jesus.
Me and the conversation with me and the boys? Yes.
Holy.
My conversation when I'm mad? Yes.
Hallelujah.
All manner of conversation.
Thank you,
see, all don't leave nothing out. You can just say, well, I'm just going to let my hair down if I had some, you know.
Oh, bless the Lord.
No, you don't. But, you know, you ever heard someone say, well, I had to lay the Holy Ghost down for a minute.
Uh-uh.
Right? No, you can't do that. He said all manner of conversation, Sterling. For all of us to get it, said no matter what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you.
Let it be holy. You mean I can't gossip? No, is gossip holy conversation? Oh, I can't backbiting holy conversation. No. How about lying? Is lying holy conversation? No. See how this it helps us to have the knowledge of how He wants us to perform. Amen. And I don't mean performance in a way to earn something. I'm talking about in a way to live. Amen. Because this is not for our salvation, but it is part of our reward. I haven't got to that message yet. Y'all going to be blown away. Amen. But just to stop and think, amen, if we would apply these things. Amen. It says to godliness, brotherly kindness. Hold up. I got to be kind to them too. Now, I done held my patience. I done spoke to them in a godly way. Ain't I done yet? Now you got to be kind to them, even though they got on your nerves and wore out your patience. Amen. Now you got to be kind. He says what? Kindness. Amen. One who loves his brother. Brotherly love. In the New Testament, amen, it uses love, amen, Christians one to another. Amen. Brotherly love, amen, out of a common spiritual life. In Romans 2, 12 and 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, watch this, preferring one another. I don't prefer to be with them. Sometimes I'd rather be around unsaved folk. Why? Because unsaved folk don't hold you accountable.
That's right.
You can act up around unsaved folk, amen. But he said, you should prefer to be around the saints. Let me say this, it should be easier to be around the saints. So some of you difficult folk need to get right. Let me stop. Amen. But it's got to be to a place to understand this is helping, amen. In 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, unconditional love. Right? See that you love one another with a pure heart. Ooh. I love them, but I don't like them. That's not a pure heart. Let me help you out. Bible says Jesus is love. You got the Holy Spirit on board. Right? You got love on board. Godly love on board. You just say, I don't like them. Sometimes you don't even know nothing about people and you say you don't like them. Right? So that tells you right there, you don't know them. So it's simply merely, really, what you're really saying is, there's something about them I don't like. And what you need to tell yourself is, get over it.
That's right. Come on, Jesus, preach.
Because there's things about you.
Hallelujah.
And me.
They forgot
that people don't like. They don't like that I've gone a little bit over the time. But I hope you still love me. Right? See, so we got to get to this place to understand, amen. He said, with a pure heart, not just, and he didn't stop there. He said, fervently. What does fervently mean? That means you got to be enthusiastically. Love them passionately. That's what fervently means. You're enthusiastic about the one that got on your nerves. What can I do to bless them?
Huh?
How can I bless him? I know she got on my nerves. I know he scratched my car. But what can I do to bless him? Oh, it's in the house. It's in the house. It's in the house. I must have hit a nerve right there. What can I do to bless him? It's all I can do to keep from smacking him, right, brother? Huh? You see, but we... You have all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Smacking him ain't godly, right? So we got all this aboard. We got all this available to us. But are we activating it? Are we using it? Amen. And after we get through with brotherly love, which is a challenge in itself. Hallelujah. Well, look at Galatians 6, 9 and 10. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. How long I got to put up with Phil? Right? He said, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. As we have therefore opportunity. Here we go. Saddle up. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
Especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Them ones that get on your nerves. Them ones you don't want to be around sometimes. He said do good to them. Especially.
Hallelujah.
I'm not making this up. It's in the word.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about building on the foundation, right? This is where they're going to see your house. These are the places they're going to see what kind of house you live in, what kind of house you building, right? In these things, amen, this is going to help us, amen. After brotherly kind of we come to the last one, and I'm going to let y'all alone. He said, to brotherly love, kindness, he said, I got to be kind. After being kind, he said, charity, Donita. I've been kind to him, but now you're going back to this charity thing. Charity is to have a love for someone or something based on a sincere appreciation and high regard, to love, to regard with affection.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
I'm doing all I can. just to love you. He already said fervently. Now he's going to add more on top of it. Affectionately. A high regard. Appreciation. I'm going to appreciate you when you just got on my nerves. It ain't you. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, and if we were to live like these things, think about the change it would bring. Huh? She said it'll change the world. It would definitely change your world. Huh? Amen. And Christ could really be glorified through us if we went through this list and purposed, Lord, let me build my house according to your word. I got a foundation, but you know, you ever ride around and see a foundation with nothing built on it? I mean, I can point out some, amen, here in Oak Harbor. The foundation been there for years. But for whatever reason, they never built on it. They ran out of money or the contract or something happened, amen. Foundation is laid. But you can't live in the foundation. Right? You got to build something. You got to capture some space. You know, think about, you know, you go to a field and there's nothing there, amen, and then they lay the foundation, they start putting up walls, and sometimes I, in my mind thinks something. If you could just hang something in the air with no houses there and it stay there, you know, they just captured that space. Well, how much space are you capturing for people? So they can come in and dwell in your house. The house that has all these attributes. If my last passage, and like I said, I'm going to let y'all alone, unless the Lord say otherwise. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now think about that for a minute. How has Christ loved you? With all your mess, with all your disobedience, with all your rebellion, amen, with all, you know, all the things that, nah, you know you better than I know you, but I know me, amen. He loved me in my crazy, amen. And when I didn't think I was worth nothing, he still loved me. When others didn't think I was worth nothing, he still loved me. But he said, so he's telling us to love them like I loved you. That's enough right there. Right? He says that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is amazing to me because we got to love everybody. But he keeps pointing us back to each other. The body. The body. The body of Christ. If, because, and I think the key element is this: we are supposed to be doing life together, amen. And if we can't love each other, who we rubbing shoulders with, how are we gonna love somebody that don't know Christ? Amen. Truly love them and draw them and show them the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So we gotta get, you know, this is our training ground. Right? That I can forgive, I can love, I can put up with, I can help, I can honor, I can appreciate. All these things, I learn how to do it here with people that are trying to learn it with me. Right? So that when we go out there, we got something on board. Some practical experience on board. Amen. Because we're not doing life with everybody out there. Amen. But they should see the result in our lives of doing life together in here. This ain't what it's all about. This is the learning. This is the motivating. This is the, like the filling station once a week. Amen. And for those who come on Wednesdays, you get some super octane. Amen. But then we're able to go on out there and represent Christ like he needs to because of what we know. Not just what we believe. So I ask you the question again, what do you know? Now we know how we're supposed to do it. I hope we've made that very clear. But what you gonna do with it? That's up to you, up to me, each and every encounter, each and every day. Let's stand. Thank you for your...
Y'all good?